Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day that we can call, well, not only Pearl Harbor Day, though it is that. It is a great day because it is Tired of Winning Wednesday. What do I mean? Just remember these golden and imperishable words. Listen.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore.
Is that what the American people said yesterday in Georgia, President Trump? Too much winning, the American people can't take it anymore. Well, they couldn't take it anymore yesterday for poor Herschel Walker, who gave a noble concession speech. He sort of illustrated the line from Macbeth where it says nothing in his life became him like the leaving it. Nothing in his campaign became him like the losing it. And yes, you can apply Shakespeare to that Shakespearean hero, Herschel Walker, and too bad for him. Jim Garrity writes in the National Review, on the menu today, unsurprisingly, Democrat Raphael Warnock was reelected to the Senate in Georgia last night as the flaws and the baggage of Republican nominee Herschel Walker proved too much for him to overcome without control of the upper chamber hanging in the balance. Yesterday, Walker was roughly 200,000 fewer votes than he did in November. In other words, what's incredible is that after all that campaigning, he had more votes in November than he did last night. And the one thing about that is very clear about Raphael Warnock is that he was involved in a runoff 2 years ago. He did better than that, came closer to winning an outright majority in the general election, and then built on that. His campaign seemed to work. Herschel Walker's campaign, not so much. This is what the Senate candidate, Herschel Walker, sounded like in conceding the election. And let me just remind people, you're so distracted, we're so distracted by people like Carrie Lake in Arizona and by President Trump, of course, who refused to concede, people like Stacey Abrams, who not in this race she conceded, the one that took place in November, but 4 years ago, she also didn't concede. And it's so much better for a politician and his reputation in the country for someone to talk like this. Clip three.
One of the things I want to tell all of you is you never stop dreaming. I don't want any of you to stop dreaming. I don't want any of you to stop believing in America. I want you to believe in America and continue to believe in the Constitution and believe in our elected officials most of all. Continue to pray for them because all the prayers you've given me, I felt those prayers. I want to thank all my team as well, Team Herschel, because they put up with a lot. I want to thank Team Herschel. Thank all my donors as well, because you guys, without you, I couldn't have done what I've done. So I want to thank all of you as well, because there's no excuses in life. And I'm not going to make any excuses now, because we put up one heck of a fight. And I said, that's what we got to do, because this is much bigger than Herschel Walker.
What this indicates is that something that I was getting ready to say before I listened to Herschel Walker's concession speech was the idea that he probably didn't have much of a political future. It's hard to imagine him running for Congress or running for governor or running for senator. He's not qualified to be attorney general. He's not an attorney. But the point is that the concession speech was so classy and so appropriate. Here's what Jim Garrity says at National Review. He says that Walker conceded, and that makes Carrie Lake stand out even more. With almost all of Arizona ignoring Lake's insistence in her gubernatorial election that her gubernatorial election loss was illegitimate, it now seems fair to ask whether election denialism is really all that consequential. And with that, the 2022 midterm election cycle is now completely over. Georgia's Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock was reelected last night, winning his second runoff in less than 2 years by besting Herschel Walker, a scandal-ridden football star whom former President Trump had called unstoppable. With 100% of precincts reported, Warnock finished with 51.28%, and Walker finished with 48.72%. What this indicates is that Georgia is a swing state. And it really is. Why is it a swing state, not a Democratic state? Because in the race for governor and the race for Secretary of State, the Republicans who stood up to Trump, Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger, won in landslides. And Republican candidates for Congress and for other offices did very well in this balloting. It was a problem for people who were associated in any way with the election denial myth. By the way, there's news about that myth and related conspiracy myths over in Germany, which is shocking. There is big news about Vladimir Zelensky. We talked yesterday on the air with Mark Oppenheimer about the likelihood that Zelensky would be selected as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Well, he made it. He's it. He is named Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and it's well-deserved, and the entire civilized world is celebrating, except for people, and there are those people in the anti-Semitic community who would insist that he didn't deserve it. And they would remind people that Hitler, at one point, was also Time Magazine Person of the Year. There is more from Ye, considering his interview yesterday with Mr. McInnes, the head of Proud Boys. He was there with his new buddy, Nick Fuentes, and one of the things that was said by Ye repeatedly is that, yes, Hitler has a bad reputation, but he doesn't deserve it. And he said, why does Hitler have that bad reputation? He has a bad reputation because the Jews gave it to him. Okay, maybe people could actually look a little bit at European history, at world history, and at the estimated 20 million citizens of the Soviet Empire who were killed in that war, most of them civilians, most of them killed deliberately by the Nazis, including literally millions of Ukrainians who were killed by the Nazis. And yes, there were some Ukrainians who went over and fought on the Nazi side, and the entire history is incredibly bloody. But look at what he did in Norway. Look at what he did throughout Europe. And Hitler's bad reputation, if anyone has ever earned a bad reputation, you think it's Adolf Hitler? You think it's a conspiracy to make him look bad? Meanwhile, in Germany, there were raids at 130 properties by government agents, 25 arrested, apparently a major conspiracy in Germany to overthrow the government. And the only description I've read so far as they're exploring this disturbing bit of news is that this particular conspiracy is associated with QAnon. They believe that they have to overthrow the German government to overturn a conspiracy of Satan-worshipping pedophiles, in other words. Amazing news, but very important to remember. The other news, of course, today was the guilty convictions, the convictions for President Trump's company. No, 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 it's not a conviction for President Trump himself. He is not going to jail over this. But is it significant that a candidate for President of the United States has been found guilty, or his company has been found guilty, with his name very much tarnished by something like conviction on tax fraud and misrepresentation and dishonesty? Can you think of any other candidate for president that could possibly, even imaginably, have a situation where he was convicted of all 17 charges against him? And the jury was fast about it. That's what's remarkable. They didn't appear to have that much debate, and yet would still be considered a viable candidate. We'll talk about part of what this means coming up. with John Yoo, who is a distinguished professor of law at University of California at Berkeley. That and more, plus a profound and moving column about why is America like this? Like what? Leonard Pitts has a great deal to say. We'll go to that coming up on the MedVet Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener's Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved Show, it is Tired of Winning Wednesday. Okay, I won't mention it again. But there was an unfortunate mishap for the GOP, for Republicans, who had united to a surprising extent behind the candidacy of Herschel Walker, who lost in a way that preserves his political prospects for the future. And look, I'm not saying that Herschel Walker is coming roaring back in the next time that a Senate seat is available in the state of Georgia, which is 4 years from now. The Warnock seat that he just won won't be available for another 6 years. But could Herschel Walker continue to play a role as a leader in the Republican Party? Maybe. Part of his acceptance speech, non-acceptance speech, it was his concession speech, accepting his loss, in that sense it was an acceptance speech. Part of his concession speech sounded like this. Listen.
I got a chance to go into your home, got a chance that you invested in Herschel Walker, and I thank you, and I thank you so much. And as I said, you can't blame no one. Because I want you to continue to believe in this country, believe in our elected official, and most of all, stay together. Don't let anyone separate you. Don't let anyone tell you that we can't, because I'm here to tell you we can. And I'm here to tell you we can. And as I said early on, this is, God is good.
Look, Herschel Walker, with all of the problems in his candidacy, there are a couple of things that ought to be looked over for Republicans. One is much closer vetting of candidates. And it is very, very important, and this happened really across the country for many people, is that when you have particularly people who have not participated in politics before, who have not run for office before, people like Mehmet Oz, what you need to do is go through everything possible that they're going to throw against the candidate, and then either reconsider the candidate or look at how you're going to bat that away. Now, there was so much about Herschel Walker that was already known that was problematic, particularly involving his personal life, but the fact that the charges of him pushing former girlfriends into abortions, for somebody who is running as a Christian conservative and somebody who is so outspoken and actually, frankly, so moving and convincing in talking about his Christian faith, that's somebody who ought to be looked at particularly closely. And good luck and Godspeed to Herschel Walker. His opponent, Raphael Warnock, the man of God, pastor, and not a very particularly effective candidate. And you could see that in terms of how tight and buttoned up and non-emotional and non-relatable he was in his victory speech. A victory speech is a pretty easy time for a candidate to shine. Warnock did not. And part of what he talked about is voter suppression. Now, right after you've won an election with a huge percentage of the black vote in the state of Georgia, the overwhelming majority of black people voted for the Democrat among the two black candidates. And, okay, there was huge turnout for black people, no evidence of voter suppression, but he says it's still an issue. And he put it into his acceptance speech, he put it into his victory speech last night, where it hardly belongs. Let's play that segment where Warnock claims that voter suppression is still a big issue. Listen.
There are those who would look at the outcome of this race and say that there's no voter suppression in Georgia. Let me be clear. Just because people endured long lines that wrapped around buildings, some blocks long, just because they endured the rain and the cold and all kinds of tricks in order to vote, doesn't mean that voter suppression does not exist. It simply means that you, the people, have decided that your voices will not be silenced.
Well, it means that the voter suppression isn't really particularly effective. He talks about all kinds of tricks, and he talks about in the context of the rain and the cold. Are those part of the tricks that people were suffering from. They had tricks. They made it rain and cold, and their lines stretching around the block. Look, usually people look at lines stretching around the block and they say, isn't that terrific? Voters were really concerned about this election. They came out in great numbers, in basically very impressive numbers, far more than in the double runoff election of 2 years ago, the election that got Warnock to the Senate in the first place, along with his colleague John Ossoff. He also brought up that it was such a triumph for Georgia that Georgia's first black U.S. senator was reelected, and as he said, the Georgia's first Jewish senator, John Ossoff, was elected 2 years ago. But the idea that this represents a triumph over any attacks on voter procedures in Georgia, many of them launched by the two-time nominee for governor, Stacey Abrams. Eugene Daniels was on television commenting on this and talking about the entire history of Georgia runoffs, despite the fact that both candidates were black this time, that it was intended to make sure that black votes were suppressed. Is that being a sore winner? Here is Eugene Daniels. Listen.
This is something that when you talk to activists, advocates, and strategists, organizers on the ground in Georgia, which I did earlier this year, they bring this up a lot, right? They talk about how this kind of runoff system, first of all, and just the historic way that segregation dismantled and took away the power of black folks in the South, and they've been feeling that in Georgia forever, and then they point to this as Georgia using this process that was, you know, Denmark Groover eventually said and admitted was intended to make sure that black people's vote was suppressed. They point to that as something why it should, they should get rid of it in that state. It's something that doesn't seem like Georgia, the leaders in Georgia want to get rid of, but it's something that people still feel.
He says, Daniels, that it's something that people feel. The idea that Georgia runoffs were set up to work against black people, well, obviously that didn't work very well. And I think it's very important to take note of the fact that whatever attempts at voter suppression there were this time emphatically did not work well. I'll tell you one of the things that is also not working well is, despite the fact that there was obviously a big victory for Democrats at this point, it's and despite the fact that Democrats are zeroing in on a criminal reference, a Justice Department reference concerning this, January 6th riots, that from the Select Committee, which is going to be going out of business fairly soon. The difficulty there has to do with what that verdict actually means. We'll talk about that with John Yoo, professor of law, coming up on the MedMen Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Remembrances are being held across the country to commemorate the 81st anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. At the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York City, Michelle Chauvin is a daughter of a Pearl Harbor survivor who's since passed away. She says it's up to new generations to remember and share the lessons of that day.
Several years ago, when I asked my father what message he would like to relay to the world, it was, take care of our country's veterans and the families of deceased veterans, and of course of soldiers who are serving today.
There are still few details after a shooting at a Georgia Walmart. Cobb County Police, northwest of Atlanta, tweeted there are several injuries. However, they say it's not an active shooter situation. They also added that there is no threat to the public. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
On Pearl Harbor Day, I'm broadcasting today still from Hawaii, from Maui, actually, not where Pearl Harbor is, but we're going to be visiting Pearl Harbor a little bit later on this trip. Today is also a dramatic day for American history, not just because of the formal end, thank goodness, of the election process of 2022, but because of legal arguments that may determine who gets the final say in the election of 2024. We're pleased to welcome back to the show, as always, John Yoo, who is a distinguished professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley, who has written a very important piece about a case that's being argued right now, but that most people don't know about. It's called Moore versus Harper, and it could be a decisive factor in the election of 2024. Professor Yoo, how is that?
Michael, it's great to be with you again. It's a really interesting case because it calls on the court to answer the question, when the Constitution says a state legislature does something, does that mean the state legislature? Or can the state involve a governor, can involve the courts, can even involve just a popular vote? Now, the reason why that's important is in the case of the Supreme Court today, the state legislature's role in drawing congressional districts is up. In this case, North Carolina's state legislature drew the districts as it is allowed to under the Constitution. But the North Carolina Supreme Court threw it out. They said the map was not there. That's the question that's before the court. Can state courts, for example, throw out what the state legislature does? You point out quite rightly that this is important for the 2024 election and all presidential elections, because guess what? The Constitution also says state legislatures pick the presidential electors. And so when states have votes for the president, those are because the state legislatures allow us to vote for the president. And so the question is, what would happen if a state legislature said, we don't like how our people voted. We're going to cast the votes for somebody else. That's up at stake in this Moore versus Harper case that the Supreme Court is hearing today.
Have either of the sides on the election denial issue, for instance, those more than 100 members of Congress who were actually voting to overturn some of the results that had been officially certified in a couple of states, Arizona, Pennsylvania, others, have people taken sides relative to the arguments about the validity of election 2020?
So it's interesting. This, how would I put it? This argument doesn't really affect 2020 anymore because one thing, and this is where I think President Trump's arguments failed. You might remember that President Trump was saying to Vice President Pence, let the stall or hold off on counting the votes. Let the state legislatures look into it. But the problem with his argument there is that not a single state legislature actually questioned the electoral vote. If they had, maybe this issue, Moore versus Harper today, would be more relevant. If, say, the Pennsylvania legislature had said, we think that the vote on Election Day 2020 was flawed or problematic or something was wrong with it, we're going to take back our power to cast the electoral votes, and we're going to cast them for Trump because the Pennsylvania legislature at the time was a majority Republican. But that didn't happen.
Not anymore.
So because no single state legislature did it, it's not at stake.
But this could be very important on the issue of reapportionment. I think the general summary about the impact of reapportionment on this election was that the suspected big advantage that Republicans were hoping to achieve didn't materialize. There were a bunch of states that were redistricted in a way that benefited Democrats in Illinois and elsewhere, for instance. Do you think that's accurate? The reapportionment ended up not being a big factor in determining the control of Congress this time, did it?
I mean, the counts I've seen have suggested that it was a wash in the end, that it didn't help Republicans at all. In fact, in the short term, suppose the Supreme Court were to say, Constitution says state legislature, it means state legislature, it might in the short term help Democrats, because some of the accounts say that the reason why Republicans got even the small majority they did is because the New York courts throughout the New York state legislature's effort to really gerrymander that state's congressional districts. If the court votes here with the North Carolina legislature and says they're allowed to draw the apportion maps, no one else can interfere, that would have had the effect actually of allowing New York state to go forward with its really unbalanced pro-democratic gerrymander. It might have led to the Republicans not even winning the House this cycle.
Well, last question, and very quickly, do you think that the guilty verdict yesterday on 17 counts involving companies that bear the name Donald Trump, even though Trump himself was personally not convicted, do you believe that this is going to have some kind of a big impact on, first of all, the viability of Trump's business enterprises, and second, the viability of his presidential race?
I think it does. There's a lot of momentum now in the legal system running against President Trump on lots of different fronts. The DA in Manhattan apparently is continuing an investigation into President Trump. The New York Attorney General has sued the Trump Organization and President Trump for fraud civilly. And then, of course, you have the special counsel that has been appointed by Merrick Garland, who's looking into the Mar-a-Lago documents issue and January 6th. So you could see this as a tipping point where Trump has successfully used the legal system to defend himself. It sounds like the tide is turning against him now. It might have the effect of one piling on another, and he's going to be on the defensive for the next 2 years for sure. That's not going to be healthy for a presidential campaign for anybody, not just Donald Trump.
No, there's never been a precedent of a successful candidacy with these kinds of undermining bases. Last question very quickly. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments concerning the designer of websites who didn't feel that she must be compelled by supposed civil rights laws in the state of Colorado to do a website promoting a gay wedding. The general point of view is this is likely to be a win for religious liberty rather than for gay rights protection. What do you think?
I agree with you. This is the third time, essentially, that this case, this issue has been up to the court, and I think the last time the court sidestepped it, but that was before the Trump justices were appointed. I can't believe that these three Trump justices, who have been very favorable to religious freedom claims in the last few years, would find against a woman who just doesn't want to be compelled to work for, to express messages that she disagrees with as a matter of her religious faith.
Well, this is a very fundamental American right, not only to say what you want to say, but not to be forced to say things and use your powers of expression to say things that you don't want to say. John Yu, it is always a pleasure speaking to you, and so much clarification and information in a short period of time. Coming up on Pearl Harbor Day, a question, serious question. Why is America like this? Like what? We'll get to that coming right up on The Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Based on 30 hours of intimate interviews, the superb PBS documentary, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words, allows the Supreme Court Justice to tell his remarkable story just as he had narrated to family members or close friends. His recollections come alive through expertly edited still photos and film footage showing his rise from desperate poverty in the segregated South to appointment to the nation's highest court. His confirmation process, nearly derailed by last-minute clearly dubious charges by one-time aide Anita Hill, makes for riveting viewing, highlighting a much younger Joe Biden's bumbling role as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The two-hour film is rated PG-13 for some of the salacious aspects of Anita Hill's testimony, but viewers of all ages will feel inspired by the heartfelt patriotism and deep religious faith that allow Justice Thomas to transcend every obstacle. Created Equal, a masterful piece of work, clearly counts among the year's best films. I'm Michael Medved.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a Medhead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on Medved History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it, and commercial free. Medhead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a MedHead Plus member as soon as you can.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Carrie Mulligan and Zoe Kazan co-star as two intrepid New York Times reporters who are determined to expose the horrific sex abuse by movie mogul Harvey Weinstein in the riveting true story, She Said, now playing in theaters everywhere.
We're from the New York Times. I believe he used to work for Harvey Weinstein.
People have tried to write this story before.
The only way these women are going to go on the record
is if they all jump together.
And this jumps together like other classic films about investigative journalism, like All the President's Men and Spotlight. But She Said emphasizes the higher stakes involving, according to the film and the book that it's based on, the plight of all women in the workplace who are so often mistreated. The direction by German filmmaker Maria Schrader is consistently stunning and gives you an intimate glimpse of its two indefatigable reporters in their heroic quest. It's rated R for graphic descriptions but never depictions of Weinstein's appalling behavior. Three stars for the impressive and important, She Said. And on the Michael Medved Show, broadcasting for one more day here from Maui in the state of Hawaii, now our 50th state. Hawaii, of course, was not a state in this day, December 7th of 1941. It was an American territory, and it was a site of perhaps our most important naval base at the time, along with Norfolk, but Pearl Harbor. And this is the way that a newsreel at the time highlighted what happened on this Pearl Harbor Day, 1941. Listen.
On December 7th, 1941, Japan, like its infamous Axis partners, struck first and declared war afterwards. Costly to our Navy was the loss of war vessels, airplanes, and equipment. But more costly to Japan was the effectiveness of its foul attack in immediately unifying America in its determination to fight and win the war thrust upon it, and to win the peace that will follow.
And you'll note that the newsreel came on at a time that the peace had yet to be achieved. President Roosevelt, of course, gave a remarkable address, basically declaring
war on Japan, one of the things that's fascinating to contemplate is that he very pointedly did not declare war on Germany because Germany wasn't involved in Pearl Harbor. And there was actually some hope on the part of FDR's advisors that Germany would not declare war on the United States. But because of an agreement with Japan, Hitler gave a... and Hitler, again, who has a bad reputation, according to Ye, because of the Jews, Hitler decided to attack America, and basically claiming all sorts of personal reasons for that against FDR, including that he was a Freemason. But this was the famous Day of Infamy speech by the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Listen.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
And 3 days later, Hitler gave his declaration of war speech. Part of what is so remarkable about this, and again, it was repeated to some extent after 11th, 2001, was the ability of the nation to come together very dramatically. And that is an ability that is questioned right now in a very moving column by Leonard Pitts. He did one of the finest columns. I remember talking about it on the air many times after September 11th. But he now has a new piece under the heading, Why is America Like This? And he starts out by describing a series of what he calls knucklehead shootings, i.e. small-scale shootings where the motive is patently absurd. As with mass shootings, there is no shortage. And then he gives some descriptions. In Atlanta in June, a woman who worked at Subway was killed for putting too much mayonnaise on a sandwich. In Brooklyn in August, a man who worked at McDonald's was shot in the neck because the French fries were cold. In Houston in September, a woman who worked at Jack in the Box allegedly shot at a customer in an argument over curly fries. In Detroit in November, a man was shot to death after he apparently failed to hold the elevator door. In Tulsa in November, a man reportedly shot at his stepfather after they got into an argument over a game of Monopoly. Absorb enough of these knucklehead shootings, and the idea that a search for motive might yield any insight of value begins to feel silly. Little more than intellectual busy work that gives the mind something to do, some illusion of control. And never mind that whatever the motive is, whether it was that the French fries were cold or the shooter hated black people, it will never come close to explaining, much less justifying, the carnage. Many will say, writes Pitts, the problem is that guns are too readily available in America, which is demonstrably true. But even that only gets us part of the way to any sensible answer. Other countries, Canada and New Zealand, for instance, also allow citizens to buy guns, albeit with laws more restrictive than you'll find here. Gun ownership in both countries is widespread, yet American-style violence is not. Maybe it's because America fetishizes not just guns, but also the idea that guns, more than a tool of hunting or even of self-defense, are a shortcut to capability, an instant equalizer, allowing even the weak-minded and the lily-livered to stand their ground. Standing your ground as a foundation of the American myth. So it's hard to overstate the allure that that must carry for a certain type of person. For them, to own a gun is to swagger, to know that nobody's going to mess with you or move you off your spot. And that if you want the French fries, then doggone it, you will have hot French fries. Because this is America. In the end, that's all the why you're ever going to get and all you'll ever need. Is there something in America, and it's a different way of saying it, I think, that is most important. There is a sense of entitlement in this country right now. And that is sometimes promoted by all sides politically. But the idea that I am entitled to this, I'm entitled to my hot French fries, I'm entitled to have the door held open in an elevator. The idea that Americans feel so deeply entitled and in some extreme cases want to defend that sense of entitlement, even at the cost of violence. The one thing here is that there is a political aspect to this. And the fact that the Democratic Party, to such a tremendous extent, has been the party not only of defending entitlements that are well established, like Social Security and Medicare and the food stamps and you name it, but the whole idea of entitlement. Again, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And on this Pearl Harbor Day, one thing we can do for our country is talk about those things that do unite us, which I think are more powerful and ultimately will be more historically faithful than any other aspect of divisions, including knucklehead shootings in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Yes, America is dealing with a toxic legacy of racism, but it's destructive to frame all problems in racial terms. For instance, a panelist for Project Homeless of the Seattle Times boldly declared, "To be blunt, there is no homelessness in America without racism. It simply wouldn't exist." Now, this is frankly insane. All studies of homelessness show more white people living on the streets than blacks or Hispanics. Statistics prove African Americans are 72 times more likely to own their own homes than to count as homeless. Moreover, is racism the sole cause for mental illness and substance abuse, which are the chief drivers of the homeless explosion, especially for the white plurality among the homeless? The idea that the thousands of street people who challenge health and safety in every big city would magically find homes if it weren't for racism is so illogical it detracts from any serious efforts to cope with the problem. I'm Michael Medved.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.